This episode of Chris Brown's True Stewardship is brought to you by Churchill Mortgage. They'll take your personal situation and find the best mortgage option for you. Call Churchill Mortgage today, 855-LOAN-200, or go to churchillmortgage.com.
Ramsey Solutions presents Chris Brown's True Stewardship.
What if American households today got serious about stewardship? Not some old historic church word and not some fundraising campaign, but true biblical stewardship, managing God's blessings, God's way for God's glory.
Welcome to Chris Brown's True Stewardship. Here's your host, Chris Brown.
Well, hello, folks. Welcome to Chris Brown's True Stewardship. We are taking your calls today, 866-357-3283. 866-357-3283. I bet most of you who have been listening to this show quite a while can probably repeat that number, 866-357-3283. Also, we're taking your emails, Chris Brown on air at stewardship.com, and of course on social media as well. Chris Brown on air on all social media platforms. As you're calling in, I haven't asked this very much on this show. We're something like, 300, 320 shows into this. But I get many comments asking how you can support this show. And I love the spirit behind that. And I don't know of a time where I've ever actually formally asked you to do this. In the past, I've kind of like subtly hinted at it, and it'd be great if you did. But I kind of want to formally ask you to do something. If you've been listening to the show for quite a while, I want to ask you to do something. Those of you that are new to the show, first time ever listening in, don't worry about it. But those who've been listening for a while, I want to ask you, there's two great ways to support this show. If you've benefited from this show and you've enjoyed it, number one, go to iTunes and subscribe. And number two, while you're there on iTunes, leave a review and be nice, be kind. But that's the two ways you can support this show. My birthday is coming up soon. You don't have to give me a present, but those are some cool ways that you can support us. I Snapchatted a picture recently of my odometer in my car. And it was a picture of, I think it was like the car just hit 130,000 miles on the car. And I just said like something like hashtag goals, we're going after it. And I realized, you know what, it might be good to update you on our Operation Home. If you've been listening for a while, you know that my wife and I are saving up for a home to pay in cash. And I just wanted to let you know, we are at 63% of our goal towards a house, and we're getting closer, and we're getting 2% closer to our goal every month, like in a typical month. So we're looking at roughly 18 months away. And I just wanted to tell you that because I want you to know I'm on this journey with you. I've got goals just like you, and I've got some sacrifices I'm making and the saving and the cutting the budget and all that kind of stuff, making decisions every day based on my goals. And I want you to know that I'm praying for you. And I also want you to pray for me. Pray for my two cars. I got one at 130-something thousand and one at 143,000. And trust me, they need some prayer. They're hanging on for their dear life. Again, the number's 866-357-3283. And it looks like our first call is coming from somewhere that is much, less hot than it is here. That's for sure. Sacramento, California. This is Rich. Rich, how you doing?
Good afternoon. Doing well. Thank you for asking.
Good. How can I help?
Well, I had a question in regards to paying off a house. It's been my goal for quite some time, and the house is worth close to $400,000, but I only owe $48,000. My question is I have a couple of retirement accounts, and one of them has about $50,000 in it, and one part of me says leave it alone, let it grow. The other part says drain it and pay the house off. That way, if the stock market collapses again, at least I have a paid off house.
When you say again, what are you referring to?
Well, I'm referring to when the stock market dropped a few years back when it went from, say, the Dow was at 13,000 and went to 7,500.
Okay, you're talking about 2000.
And everything I had in a 401k, I had about 300 in a 401k, which went down to about 112.
Okay. How old are you?
And I just keep thinking that this may happen again, and I don't have the time left to rebuild that account. Mm-hmm. But
yeah, how old are you?
51.
Okay. It did have a tough time in 2007, 2008 when it dropped tremendously. I don't forget, it was 08 or 09. I remember where I was sitting in the gym when it was all kind of, I remember having the conversation with somebody and thinking, oh my goodness, I can't believe how low it is. But here we are, you know, when it's high and it's rebounded. So I just want to, the reason why I am spending some time on that is because I want to make sure we make a good decision based on real facts. And the reality is it's rebounded significantly. And I don't want you to, put over fantasize the drop bigger than it is. Cause in 59, you're still going to be benefiting from that rebound. So I wanted to throw that your way. Now $48,000 left. Obviously you've been very successful with money and you've gotten it down to 48. What is it that's been working? A high income, hard work, sacrifice, budgeting. How'd you get it down to 48?
All the above. Worked hard, worked long hours, made good money at the work that I was doing, and put a significant, I was putting away about 20% at least a year towards retirement, and then putting a bunch of money towards the house, paying cash for everything and no credit cards. But then, you know, life took a change and I lost that position, that job, that kind of earning potential.
Okay. And what do you make now?
Roughly 50.
Okay. So about, you got a year's worth of debt.
About that. Yeah. The mortgage payment is, hovering around 600 a month. Mm-hmm. Not too much.
And what would you do? How much would you put into retirement if you paid this thing off? What would be your new strategy?
I'm trying to reassess life moving forward after 50 and determining how much I really want to work versus watching so many friends and family members work all the way up until the day they passed away. And I don't want to follow in those footsteps. And I'm thinking if I had the house is all I owe money on. I don't owe money on a vehicle or credit cards or anything like that. And I just keep thinking that, well, if, you know, if I paid the house off, maybe I could just go get that cushy little part-time job somewhere, just enough to make ends meet, but not have to stress a whole lot about having to find a job, having to work Monday through Friday, having to get up every single day, and maybe doing something that I potentially don't like doing, but I have to because you need the money.
Yeah, that's great if you stay healthy. And if you're forced into retirement, I want to make sure that you've got something after retirement as well. If you're asking for my opinion, I want you to hate debt. I want you to be gazelle intense. The Bible says in Proverbs 6:5, free yourself like a gazelle from the hand of the hunter, but I want you to be a smart gazelle. And if I were to ask you, would you ever go borrow $100,000 or $150,000 to pay off this 48? You would say no. And that's exactly what will be happening if you go and take that money out of your 401k. You're not just taking 50,000, you're actually taking about 150, because that's what it would do in the next 10, 15, 20 years. So that's why I don't want you to do that. I just don't, that's not being a smart, what's working for you is what you've done in the past, and that's being smart with your money and doing double payments. And I know you don't have the same income producing job. However, you don't have very many expenses either. And if you just told me that you're okay with living on a small part-time job, that means you can live that lifestyle now, take the additional 25, 30 grand, act like you're living the part-time job now, and put all that money towards the house. But I don't want you giving up all that earning potential to be able to pay this thing off. I want you to be a smart gazelle. And I think you can get this thing paid off in the next 2.5 years, without pulling from your 401k.
Yeah. And that is the other side of that goal. And as I mentioned that I go through this mental back and forth every single day of nope, leave the money alone, let it grow. You'll need it later. Mm-hmm. Then the other side of me goes, but you can pay your house off. And the one thing that, you know, you have that your friends and family don't is a paid off house, and come anything happens, at least that there's that. So I go through this mental struggle every day. That's why I wanted to call and get your opinion.
Yeah, I'm sure. And then another thing to think about is possibly, and I know Sacramento probably home costs are expensive, but, possibly downsizing if you're in that season where you could do that, maybe because you've got all that equity. That's another opportunity. And then just know when you go to pull that money right now at 51 years old, you're actually not going to get $50,000. You're going to get about 60% of that. So just some things to consider. I want to actually invest in you, Rich. I want to give you the Complete Guide to Money by Dave Ramsey. So stay on the line. We're going to give that to you, and we're cheering you on, okay?
Well, I appreciate that. Thank you.
All right,
very
stay
much.
On the line. We want to give you that book, okay, Rich?
You bet. Thank you.
All right, bye-bye.
You're listening to Chris Brown's True Stewardship.
You're on Dave Ramsey's plan. You're out of debt, looking to buy a home. But you've been told your entire life you need a credit score. Well, I don't want fear or misinformation to dictate your decisions. Churchill Mortgage is used to working with people just like you. They'll take your personal situation and find the best mortgage option for you. Call Churchill Mortgage today, 855-LOAN-200, or go to churchillmortgage.com/Chris Brown.
This is a paid advertisement. NMLS ID 1591. Equal Housing Lender, 761 Old Hickory Boulevard, Brentwood, Tennessee, 37027.
All right, got a shout out here on Twitter, Sarah Spotto, S-A-R-A-H-S-P-O-T-T-O. Sarah Spotto says, last two credit cards are gone. $5,000 left on a second mortgage, and then old Sally Mae. Way to go, Sarah. That's pretty cool stuff. Well, next on the line, we've got from Springfield, Missouri, Justin's calling in. Justin, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you doing today?
I'm better every day. How can I help you?
Well, my question revolves around my wife's parents and my parents. They're both reaching the retirement age, and they have no retirement or long-term health insurance. Mm-hmm. Their age is, you know, around 60 to 64 and have no income to be able to save. They're kind of on the, I guess, a poverty-level income, you know, $25,000, $30,000 a year at best. And they don't have the budget for that. They're self-employed, or her side is on Medicare. And so I was just wondering, you know, in what way may I respectfully suggest or plan on my end to get ready for their elder years of care so that it wouldn't take away or be a financially burden on my family when that time comes.
I love the fact that you care enough to be invested. The verse that comes to mind is 1 Timothy 5:8. It says, anyone who won't care for his own relatives when they need help, especially those living in his own family, has no right to say he is a Christian.
Correct.
Such a person is worse than a heathen. Now, so I love the fact that you want to take care of them as your relatives, but I love that phrase right in the middle because it gives us clarity on priority. It says, especially those living in his own family. And so that's where the line is. How involved, how engaged do you get? Mm-hmm. And that engagement level is based on making sure that you take care of your family first, that God has kind of entrusted you with right there underneath your roof. And so when I'm talking about that, I'm not just talking about making sure you've got great cereal in the morning. I'm talking about making sure that you guys just got safe routes to school, that you've got safe cars, that you're providing a secondary education. And I don't mean like a $60,000 a year education. I just mean a higher, some kind of secondary education. And whether you're paying for it or they're paying for it, that's up to you. But just making sure that you're providing for them some opportunities so that they can maximize their capacities as full-grown adults later on to bring glory to God.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you bring the situation to me, the things that I think about is financial coaching with them at the level that you think that they can grasp and the level that you think that you have the patience for. And then also your financial involvement to the point that you and your wife decide. How involved you get, it's up to you, without enabling them. And so you've got to weigh that out on whether this amount, if you're giving them $400 a month or you're giving $800 a month, if that's enabling, or if you need to go back to maybe just buying groceries.
Right.
So you got to think about your future and their future at the same time. That's really tough, and I can't answer that over the radio. You've got to decide that. But those are some of the things I would consider. Now, you had mentioned long-term care. That's something that I definitely would do because that's for both households. Because what happens? Let's play this thing out. And they can't care for themselves. They have to go to a nursing home. You're not going to let that bill just fall and say, I'm not going to help you, right?
Right.
that's going to fall on you regardless. So that is actually protecting your home as well. And so at the age of 60 is when I recommend folks to get long-term care insurance. Not before, and as soon as you go after 60, then the rates start climbing pretty fast. So 60 is kind of like that great age. And so I would, if I were you, as a bare minimum, I would start coaching with them as much as you can, maybe a little bit of financial involvement to the point your budget will allow. And I definitely would meet with one of our ELP insurance folks to just talk through long-term care insurance and what options are out there. Because if you don't, in a market like Springfield, Missouri, you're looking at maybe about $4,000, $5,000, maybe $6,000 a month to be in a shared room in a nursing facility. So that would be the kind of things that I'm thinking through. And if you've got a generosity budget that's already budgeted over the tithe that goes to your local church, right now maybe you've got it going towards some kind of organization over here, some kind of organization over here, a neighbor over here, I would pray through, does that generosity need to be focused towards your household first? A lot of times we'll overlook the familiar to go do something that feels a little bit more philanthropic when people in our family need the help.
Right.
So I would just pray through that.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, that's great. I appreciate your insight and advice.
All right. Thank you, Justin.
Thank you.
All right, folks. Insurance, 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 right? It's something that we've got to do. It's not fun to talk about, but like you just heard, depending on where you go when you get insurance, you can save a lot of money. And many of you have not really looked through the insurances that you're paying for, and that's usually a place in your budget where you can save a lot of money, hundreds of dollars a year. And the way you do that is you've got an independent agent. And I'm not sure if you have that or not, but these independent agents, they work for you, not for the insurance company. Did you get that? They work for you and they shop around, find the best policies out there for your family, your budget, your variables, all the things going on in your world. So we here at Ramsey Solutions, we have a network of agents in our endorsed local provider program who are local experts and they have the heart of a teacher. Okay, they teach what we teach. They're not out for the commission. They're there to teach. And once you know everything of what make a good educated decision, then the sale occurs, but not until you know exactly what you want and you understand everything. So they provide top-notch service that you can trust. And check this out, that ELP program is absolutely free. So go to stewardship.com, click on Find an ELP, and get connected with an independent agent right there in your area.
Thank you for joining us on Chris Brown's True Stewardship. We want to hear your questions and your success stories, from your smallest milestone to your biggest victory. Email Chris at chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com. That's chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com. Or call 866-357-3283. That's 866-357-3283. And now back to Chris Brown and True Stewardship.
And it looks like our next call is all the way up in Canada. And I bet you that's a little cooler than down here in Music City. This is Julie calling in.
Hi.
Julie, how are you?
Not too bad. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing great. What is the best time of the year to visit Canada?
Oh, I don't know. I wouldn't say the winter.
I was assuming that.
You know, I'm actually, this is a province I live in now that I'm married, but I'd say if you go to Ontario is my home province. You go there in the fall,
okay.
Get all the beautiful fall colors. Oh, my word, it's gorgeous.
Well, there you go. It's on my bucket list. I'm going to be up there before too long.
Do it.
Very cool. How can I serve you today?
Okay, well, I have a question about something that I need some help.
Okay.
Okay, so what's happening is, I don't know how much you've heard in the States about how tough it's been in the oil field here in Canada. A whole bunch of people either got laid off or, you know, their wages were cut and stuff last year. My husband was in that category. He ended up, you know, back and forth with jobs. We made a lot less, like way, way, way less than we've made other years. And we ended up getting two vehicles repossessed. Mm. Now, we're very blessed because in Alberta, they can repossess your vehicle, but you don't go upside down on them. they actually cannot sue you for the difference after they've sold your vehicle.
Oh, okay.
So we owe nothing on them, and they're gone. My husband subsequently bought himself a truck, a cheap truck, cash, and he's concerned because it's been a bit of a lemon. But our biggest thing that we're dealing with right now is, in about 3 years, we'll have to refinance our mortgage. And he's convinced that because we have these vehicles repossessed, that we won't be able to continue with the mortgage rate, interest rate that we now have, and they'll put it up to some much higher interest rate, and then we won't be able to afford our mortgage payments. And so he wants to go out and borrow more money, get a loan, and, you know, buy another vehicle or something. Nothing really huge, like $8,000 or something. But I'm like, oh, let's not go there. Let's not do that. That's what we did in the first place in order to build up his credit so that, you know, it's going to look like, yes, he's been paying off this loan. He has this wonderful credit. So then they won't give him a poor interest rate when we refinance.
Well, of course, I'm going to be totally against, you know, coupling a wrong with another wrong.
Thank you.
Yeah. So here's the deal. If it's the refi is 3 years from now, you can have a 3 years of some great history of you paying your bills on time and making good decisions, making double payments on your house, making extra payments, maybe not double, but extra payments on your house. And you'll have all that going into the refi discussion. And if your credit score is still too bad to get a good interest rate on a good 15-year fixed loan, then I do know there are multiple companies that do this manual underwriting, but I wouldn't want you to get a loan. Here's what I'm saying. There's options out there for manual underwriting. And here, take this. Even let's say that's not an option. I would still rather you not get the loan and absolutely kick tail on this mortgage. And the interest rate that comes 3 years from now is still the repercussions of that. If it goes from 3 to 5% or 5 to 7 or 4 to 6 or whatever,
right?
The how much you have kicked tail in the last 3 years is going to be a bigger pro than the con of that going 3 to 5 until your credit score is fixed.
Like, okay.
What? Yeah, if you just keep making payments and a half, payments and a half, payments and a half. That's going to, the big pro on that is going to be way, way bigger. So okay, I would never go take out a loan just so you can build your credit score. No, I wouldn't do it. In Canada.
Thank you.
Or in the U.S.
Yeah, I agree with that 100%. And I'm just trying to get my husband to feel secure about that because he's very concerned about it. And, you know, if I can give him other ideas, like you said, paying the bills on time, making extra payments on the mortgage, that's going to make a bigger impression on them. And I mean that the mortgage company we're with right now, we've been with this guy for several years, and I think he does have that kind of a heart, right? If you were to talk to him and say, look, this is the situation.
Yeah.
I mean, everyone in Canada is quite aware of what has gone on here in Alberta, so it's not like, you know, it's a big mystery. Oh yeah, you're just not paying your
right
mortgage and you know or whatever, your truck's got taken away. And no, that definitely is not the case, and everybody we've talked to knows that's not the case because it's happening to so many people here.
Yeah, Romans 13:8 in the Bible says owe no man anything except for the debt to love one another. It doesn't say part B, except for when you live in Canada and you got repossessions because of the oil industry.
Right.
So
you're right. You're absolutely right.
At the end of the day, all of us, you, me, our listeners, we either trust God or we trust Visa, bottom line. And and we just got to go stick with our faith, right?
Yeah, absolutely. You're 100% right. Thank you. I appreciate your offer.
All right, Julie. Thank you so much for the call.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right, got an email here from Gail. Says, thank you so much for what you and the entire Ramsey Solutions team are doing for people. My husband and I thought we were doing pretty well with money, but thanks to you and the baby steps, I feel like we finally are real live grown-ups. We're on baby step number 3, aiming at $15,000 for emergency fund. We have $9,000 in non-retirement investments. I'm anxious to get back to retirement investing in baby step number 4. So my question is, should I liquidate those non-retirement accounts to fund the emergency fund, even though I'll have to pay taxes on it? What do you think we should do? I think I know your answer and what it's going to be. Thank you so much. Well, since these are non-retirement investments, I like you cashing these out and putting them in an emergency fund so you don't have to borrow when that next emergency happens, because it will happen. And then you'll be paying 10, 15, 20% interest when you borrow for the emergency, which is absolutely crazy. We want you to get that emergency fund in there. And since these are non-retirement accounts, I'm fine with it. I want you to get closer and closer to that retirement savings, and this will help you do that. And of course, our ELPs, our endorsed local providers, can help you with that. Well, folks, we have screened and trusted professionals that can help you with your insurance needs. If you want to save hundreds of dollars right away, go to stewardship.com, click on Find an ELP to get started with an independent insurance agent right there in your area. Folks, we'll chat tomorrow right here on Chris Brown's True Stewardship. Let's continue to manage those daily decisions God's way and for God's glory. God bless you.